Exame Final Nacional de Inglês. Prova 550.
Época Especial.
Ensino Secundário.
2025.
11º ano de escolaridade. Continuação. Bienal. Vai agora realizar a parte A da prova. Compreensão do oral. Escute com muita atenção e siga as instruções. Mesmo que não compreenda alguma palavra ou frase, continue a resolver a prova e mantenha-se em silêncio. A parte A da prova é composta por 7 itens relativos a 2 textos, texto 1 e texto 2. Antes de ouvir cada texto, dispõe de alguns segundos para ler os respectivos itens. Vai ouvir cada texto 2 vezes. Enquanto estiver a ouvir, pode anotar as suas respostas no enunciado. Lembre-se de que terá de as registar posteriormente na folha de respostas. Dispõe de alguns segundos no final de cada audição para registar e verificar as suas respostas. Atenção, toda a prova será em inglês. Vire agora a página do enunciado para dar início à parte A da prova. Compreensão do oral.
Text 1. You will hear 3 teenagers talking about things we can all do to look after our environment. For item 1, match the names, Penelope, Edgar or Delilah, in column A, with the ideas they express in column B. Use all the ideas once. On your answer sheet, write only the names and the numbers. Now, read the ideas in column B. You have 25 seconds to read them. Now, listen. Penelope.
You can't keep ignoring the obvious. I'm not saying that we're all suddenly prepared to install solar panels, or that we're all well off and can afford an electric car. But there are still things we can do, like saying no to bottled water, as well as recycling waste, of course. It's time to step up and be more creative. What about growing your own vegetables? Here, at home, we do that. We also use public transport. I really prefer my 15-minute bus ride to school to a 5-minute drive. There's so much you can do.
Edgar.
Yeah, simple things are sometimes complicated. The other day, when I stayed over at Jack's, I noticed he didn't even turn off the tap while brushing his teeth. What's the use of spending so much money on solar panels if you don't even know the basics? Water is a huge issue. A 5-minute shower uses about 100 litres of water, while a full bath up to 250. It's insane! That's why my parents have banned baths and taps running while brushing our teeth. And you can reuse household water if you have a garden. We don't have one yet, but we're seriously thinking about it. And if you don't have public transport nearby, like us, you can always try carpooling.
Delilah.
I believe that we're living in a much more eco-conscious era. Just look at the protests organized by young people. I imagine that they all put pressure on their families to recycle, save water, and avoid using plastic. We all know what we have to do, but we tend to forget. It happens to me too. I love long showers, for example, but I'm aware of how wasteful it is, so I try not to have too many. I know some people can't stand the idea of having more eco-friendly habits. It's not my case. I suppose I could walk to school, but the 5-minute drive is so comfortable.
Listen again. Penelope.
You can't keep ignoring the obvious. I'm not saying that we're all suddenly prepared to install solar panels, or that we're all well off and can afford an electric car. But there are still things we can do, like saying no to bottled water, as well as recycling waste, of course. It's time to step up and be more creative. What about growing your own vegetables? Here, at home, we do that. We also use public transport. I really prefer my 15-minute bus ride to school to a 5-minute drive. There's so much you can do.
Edgar.
Yeah, simple things are sometimes complicated. The other day, when I stayed over at Jack's, I noticed he didn't even turn off the tap while brushing his teeth. What's the use of spending so much money on solar panels if you don't even know the basics? Water is a huge issue. A 5-minute shower uses about 100 litres of water, while a full bath up to 250. It's insane! That's why my parents have banned baths and taps running while brushing our teeth. And you can reuse household water if you have a garden. We don't have one yet, but we're seriously thinking about it. And if you don't have public transport nearby, like us, you can always try carpooling.
Delilah.
I believe that we're living in a much more eco-conscious era. Just look at the protests organized by young people. I imagine that they all put pressure on their families to recycle, save water, and avoid using plastic. We all know what we have to do, but we tend to forget. It happens to me too. I love long showers, for example, but I'm aware of how wasteful it is, so I try not to have too many. I know some people can't stand the idea of having more eco-friendly habits. It's not my case. I suppose I could walk to school, but the 5-minute drive is so comfortable.
Now check your answers. That is the end of the listening of text 1. Text 2. You will hear a radio conversation about environmental responsibility. For items 2.1 to 2.6, choose the correct option, A, B, or C. On your answer sheet, write only the numbers and the letters. You have 1 minute to read the items. Now, listen. I'm Peter Taylor. Welcome to Chatterzone. We'll be discussing environmental responsibility with Professor Ethan Hollister and Julia Rendell from the environmental organisation GreenGo.
Thank you.
To start, I don't think we need to learn more about the effects of climate change. They're already visible enough. Extreme weather and rising temperatures are forcing people out of their homes. The question is, whose responsibility is it to tackle these problems? We can't all take the blame. Ethan, what do you think?
First, it's always important to talk about the effects of our actions on the climate, as every single day we learn more and more about their consequences. To answer your question, the responsibility for tackling climate change lies with decision makers, industry, and ordinary citizens. There's really no point in starting a blame battle.
Julia, where do you stand?
Well, no one is free from guilt, but some are far more accountable than others. Research proves that big oil corporations, rich industrialised countries and carbon billionaires are far more responsible for carbon emissions than anyone else.
Sorry, carbon billionaires?
Yes, the world's richest people. Did you know that a billionaire's average annual emission is a million times higher than that of 90% of the population? And that they make significant financial investments into wealthy corporate polluters? They have escaped accountability for too long. The time has come for them to rechannel investments towards more sustainable practices and better living conditions.
I guess it wouldn't seem right to expect developing countries to take the lead, Ethan?
Someone has to, Peter, as long as everyone else follows. But I know what you're trying to say. The Industrial Revolution in the Global North changed many things. Global economic inequality around the world grew throughout the 20th century. And rich industrialised countries are responsible for 50% of all historical emissions. These are all undisputed facts, which clearly point to the ones responsible.
That's exactly my point.
Yes, but I prefer to focus on what every single country must start doing, such as adopting renewable energy, improving energy efficiency, and switching to electric transport.
Yes, but it's not easy.
It isn't, and I believe wealthy countries have a greater responsibility to cut emissions and move to cleaner energy sources. And they should also be helping developing countries.
That's possible, especially with wide political support. It all comes down to policymaking.
So it's all up to politicians?
Well, not completely, but major changes in the energy system will not take place without political intervention.
Julia?
True. Governments shouldn't be afraid to take unpopular political measures, such as banning fossil fuels or applying carbon taxes. We know that high prices will reduce demand. Nonetheless, I do fear that such measures will hurt poorer people more than richer people, because the less advantaged face greater financial problems when prices rise.
That's why I suggest other incentives that support less polluting options. Take tax credits and reductions. Governments can offer tax incentives to individuals or businesses that choose environmentally friendly options, such as solar panels. Subsidies for renewable energies are also fundamental. They make the production and consumption of renewable sources like solar, wind, and hydropower much easier.
I would definitely agree with discounts on eco-friendly products.
But if we want cheaper products, both governments and environmental organisations should fund programmes to support research and the development of cleaner energies. The impact of scientific discoveries cannot be underestimated.
But that doesn't mean citizens should do nothing. They must pressure governments to stop supporting wealthy corporations that are responsible for recklessly extracting fossil fuels for energy production. They can also join an organisation like ours. It's time people let go of the tree-hugger stereotype and got to know us better.
I agree. Governments can't give in to corporate interest, and that's where public awareness comes in. The more we know, the more we understand, and the more we can demand from our decision makers.
True. Thank you both so much. Listen again. I'm Peter Taylor. Welcome to Chatterzone. We'll be discussing environmental responsibility with Professor Ethan Hollister and Julia Rendell from the environmental organisation GreenGo.
Thank you.
To
start, I don't think we need to learn more about the effects of climate change. They're already visible enough. Extreme weather and rising temperatures are forcing people out of their homes. The question is, whose responsibility is it to tackle these problems? We can't all take the blame. Ethan, what do you think?
First, it's always important to talk about the effects of our actions on the climate, as every single day we learn more and more about their consequences. To answer your question, the responsibility for tackling climate change lies with decision makers, industry, and ordinary citizens. There's really no point in starting a blame battle.
Julia, where do you stand?
Well, no one is free from guilt, but some are far more accountable than others. Research proves that big oil corporations, rich industrialised countries and carbon billionaires are far more responsible for carbon emissions than anyone else.
Sorry, carbon billionaires?
Yes, the world's richest people. Did you know that a billionaire's average annual emission is a million times higher than that of 90% of the population? And that they make significant financial investments into wealthy corporate polluters? They have escaped accountability for too long. The time has come for them to rechannel investments towards more sustainable practices and better living conditions.
I guess it wouldn't seem right to expect developing countries to take the lead, Ethan?
Someone has to, Peter, as long as everyone else follows. But I know what you're trying to say. The Industrial Revolution in the Global North changed many things. Global economic inequality around the world grew throughout the 20th century, and rich industrialised countries are responsible for 50% of all historical emissions. These are all undisputed facts, which clearly point to the ones responsible.
That's exactly my point.
Yes, but I prefer to focus on what every single country must start doing, such as adopting renewable energy, improving energy efficiency, and switching to electric transport.
Yes, but it's not easy.
It isn't, and I believe wealthy countries have a greater responsibility to cut emissions and move to cleaner energy sources. And they should also be helping developing countries.
That's possible, especially with wide political support. It all comes down to policymaking.
So, it's all up to politicians?
Well, not completely, but major changes in the energy system will not take place without political intervention.
Julia?
True. Governments shouldn't be afraid to take unpopular political measures, such as banning fossil fuels or applying carbon taxes. We know that high prices will reduce demand. Nonetheless, I do fear that such measures will hurt poorer people more than richer people, because the less advantaged face greater financial problems when prices rise.
That's why I suggest other incentives that support less polluting options. Take tax credits and reductions. Governments can offer tax incentives to individuals or businesses that choose environmentally friendly options, such as solar panels. Subsidies for renewable energies are also fundamental. They make the production and consumption of renewable sources like solar, wind and hydropower much easier.
I would definitely agree with discounts on eco-friendly products.
But if we want cheaper products, both governments and environmental organisations should fund programmes to support research and the development of cleaner energies. The impact of scientific discoveries cannot be underestimated.
But that doesn't mean citizens should do nothing. They must pressure governments to stop supporting wealthy corporations that are responsible for recklessly extracting fossil fuels for energy production. They can also join an organisation like ours. It's time people let go of the tree-hugger stereotype and got to know us better.
I agree. Governments can't give in to corporate interest, and that's where public awareness comes in. The more we know, the more we understand, and the more we can demand from our decision makers.
True. Thank you both so much. Now check your answers. That is the end of the listening of text 2. That is the end of part A.